Good morning. This is Wyoming Debrief from Wyoming Public Radio News. It's Monday, April 6th. I'm Charles Pelkey with these news updates from around Wyoming. State leaders punted making decisions on grants for unmet housing needs at their April meeting. As Wyoming News Now's Akili Bonner reports, hours-long debate on an amendment that would require a citizenship check through a federal database led them to table discussions on the applications.
At around the 8-hour and 30-minute mark, tensions rose once again between Governor Mark Gordon and Secretary Gray.
Mr. Chairman, hold on.
Stop! Shut up!
Mr. Chairman.
I have the superintendent. Then I will recognize you.
You're violating your rules currently.
I am.
You just referred to me in a negative fashion.
This came as Secretary Gray wanted to bring an amendment to the numerous affordable housing proposals that he says would make sure undocumented immigrants cannot get in on. That was ruled out of order by Governor Gordon. Secretary Gray then states he attempted to bring the amendment back later in the meeting when things then took a turn.
When I was trying to get recognized, he would not recognize me. And then when I tried to say, look, I'd like to be recognized, he started shrieking and making a number of just really negative comments.
In a statement sent by Governor Gordon's team, it reads, in part, the governor will not comment on Chuck Gray's continued predictable mudslinging. Instead, the governor's focus remains squarely on working for the people of Wyoming.
I'm Akili Bonner, Wyoming News Now.
More than 2,000 newspapers have shut down over the last 20 years, many of them in small towns. Now a national program has selected a cohort of papers to experiment with an improved business model. As Wyoming Public Radio's Melody Edwards reports, a Wyoming paper is among them.
Back in January, the Pinedale Roundup editor Callie O'Hare attended a journalism workshop and learned about an opportunity to get 3 months of free consulting on improving your paper's bottom line.
So I was very quick to scribble Pinedale Roundup on my little slip of paper and toss our name into the hat for consideration. And then I think it was later that afternoon at lunch, we found out that we had been selected.
Terry Finneman wrote the book Reviving Rural News and started the program. She chose the Roundup because of what they experienced last year.
The fact that they suddenly closed just overnight, their ownership closed a series of papers over multiple states. And so their community saw the threat of what would happen if the newspaper was gone.
The business model helps papers charge the right price for their product and increase readership through a newsletter and more local focus. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Melody Edwards.
A Nebraska company makes avalanche bombing technology. As Jackson Hole Community Radio Sophia Boyd Flegel reports, flying cameras could be coming to a slope near you as soon as this winter. But explosives are a ways out.
The few-foot-wide flying machines from Joan Amplified can carry up to 10 pounds of bombs and, on command, trigger an explosion and hopefully a slide. Company business developer Dan Justa says Alaska's State Transportation Agency already uses the drones to preemptively cause slides.
I mean, we were able to do a mission up in Juneau, do the mitigation in and out in about 30 minutes.
Here in Wyoming, big pipes and large egg-shaped shells on the mountainside store explosives for the Wyoming Department of Transportation to do the same. YDOT Avalanche Specialist Don Lawless says cheaper drones could help him peer at the after effects of explosions from afar, even at night. As it stands,
I don't know if there's still remaining hazard up there or if it's taken care of at all.
But his department hasn't adopted the flying bomb technology yet. He says Drone Amplified's $200,000 machines have a shorter lifespan than the systems that are already in place, and they're more expensive. Sophia Boyd Flegel, KHOL News.
The latest wildfire season forecast confirms the concerns of many. This could be a big one for much of the West. The Mountain West News Bureau's Murphy Woodhouse has details.
The monthly outlooks from the National Interagency Fire Center are typically staid documents, providing just the facts analysis. But the latest is superlative laden as it describes record low snowpacks, record early snow melt, and record high temperatures. Here's Jim Wallman, a meteorologist at the fire center.
If we're seeing things that are so outside the realm that can contribute to fire in advance, and we're seeing things that are exceptional, we need to mention that too, because that has the potential to really impact our fire season.
This month, above average potential for significant wildfires is expected in much of New Mexico and parts of Arizona, Colorado, and Wyoming. The rest of the West is average, and no parts are below average. By June, much of the Four Corner states and large swaths of the Northwest are red, the color for higher than normal potential. Wallman says that if many parts of the West are burning intensely and simultaneously, resources can get stretched thin. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Murphy Woodhouse.
And now let's hear from Ivy Engel for a look at what happened this week in Wyoming history.
This is Around Wyoming. Here are some stories from history from around the state. According to the Wyoming Historical Society, on April 6, 1953, a woman in Rock Springs found a religious medallion with 40 cut and polished diamonds in a rubbish pile in her backyard. On April 7, 1869, John Campbell was sworn in as Wyoming's first territorial governor. On April 9, 1889, Francis E. Warren was reappointed as territorial governor by President Benjamin Harrison. A year later, on April 9, 1890, Warren was inaugurated as the first governor of the state. On April 10, 1803, Napoleon told his treasury minister that he was considering selling Louisiana to the U.S. That area included what is now Wyoming. On April 10, 1930, it was reported that a propeller-driven motor sled, which was believed to be the first of its kind, was completed. It was designed to patrol highways and search for lost people when deep snow made other kinds of travel impossible. It was created by Laramie's Frank McHugh. On April 11, 1964, the University of Wyoming dedicated the copper-plated dinosaur designed by Dr. Sam Knight that still stands guard near the entrance to the Geology Museum on campus. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Ivy Engel.
And here's today's Wyoming trivia question. How many acres of hemp are planted in Wyoming? Send us your answer to wyomingdebrief@gmail.com or by message on Instagram or Facebook, and we'll give a shout out to the first person with the right answer. As for Friday's trivia question, who was Lucretia Marchbanks? Marchbanks, known as Aunt Lou, was an enslaved woman born in Tennessee in 1832. Liberated by the Emancipation Proclamation in 1865, she moved around the country before arriving in the Black Hills of the Dakota Territory, where she eventually opened a hotel. A savvy businesswoman, she also purchased a ranch near Rocky Ford, Wyoming in 1865, becoming the first African-American woman to own a ranch in Wyoming. Interestingly, in the TV series Deadwood, Marchbanks is portrayed by actress Cleo King. She passed away in Beulah at the age of 79 in 1911. Look her up. Her story is fascinating and involves much, much more than we can detail here today. Congratulations to Charlie Knutson, who was the first person with the correct answer. Well, that's it for today. Thank you for joining me, Charles Palkey, on Wyoming Debrief this morning. Have a great day and join me again tomorrow.